Hello and welcome to episode 20 of the First and Goal podcast. My name is Ben Roberts, joined with Sim Langa. And we promised after we had the long a discussion last time about the everything that was going on with the football program that we would make sure to touch on basketball and volleyball as well. And so that is what we are bringing to you tonight. It'll be actually in two parts. So Sim and I will break down basketball in part one. And then Sim had a chance to speak to a friend and listener of the podcast, Nate Torvik, who knows way more than Sim and I know about volleyball. And they had a pretty interesting conversation about the volleyball team and kind of what to look forward to there as they kick off their NCAA tournament run starting on Thursday the 5th. So be sure to check that out. That'll be a separate episode, part two. But for right now, we will dive into basketball. And I don't know about you, Sim, but it feels like, I guess, with everything that happened over the weekend, it feels like it's been forever since the basketball team played.
Yeah, man. yeah, obviously with what's transpired with football, obviously that's the biggest thing. What's transpired with football ever since Saturday, that's really been the thing that's kind of taken all the headlines. And it just feels like even the kind of the on the back end of all the announcements and whatnot, that yeah, it just feels like forever since the basketball team played. And it was like it hasn't even been a week since they last played, but it feels like it's been much longer.
And their last game, man, that was what some of us remember on ESPN Classic as an instant classic. The Boilermakers, they kept us on our toes. It was a game where they were up by as much as 17 early. And then Ole Miss, who is a really good team again. I mean, this is a trend now of the Boilermakers just kind of going through a gauntlet of what you would think is going to be NCAA teams come March. And this Ole Miss team was really good too. And the Boilermakers were able to battle back and win another Feast Week championship. So they're fourth in a row, dating all the way back to 2021. They won the Hall of Fame tip off. And then in 22, they won the Phil Knight Legacy. Of course, last year, the Maui Invitational. And this year, they're the Rady Children's Invitational. So before we kind of get into the breakdown of the game, I thought it was interesting. I don't know if you had a chance to watch some of the videos that Purdue Basketball put out after the game, but one that really kind of caught my interest was a clip they showed of Painter talking to the team and how Paint stressed about how he I believe, and I'm probably going to screw this quote up, but he said when they look for tournaments, 80% they want to go warm weather and 100% they want to make sure they play some good teams. And I just, there's been some other coaches, Dan Hurley, who has now kind of shied away from these type of tournaments. And I just thought it was interesting, that quote, and kind of curious your thoughts, kind of like the impact that these games have. Because a lot obviously can change from teams playing in November to March. But I do think there is something to be said of playing these type of tournaments, especially against high level competition, to get you ready for that run in March.
Yeah, man, I'm glad that our coach has a different outlook on the MTEs than other coaches, as you referenced. Because yeah, I agree with you. I think that these tournaments, they especially when you have good fields, and I think, you mentioned the four straight that Purdue has won. There have been some names in those tournaments, and they're teams that have strong brands and that you find in the tournament. And I remember, and I think I know the clip you're talking about with Payton. He was very clear about, like, these are the teams you see. And I think it's good. to play those type of teams early in the year, because like you said, you're probably not gonna you're more than likely not gonna be the same team that you are at the beginning of the year, that you are at the end of the year. And we talk about too about how, like, you know, you want to be playing your best brand of basketball probably like mid-February, late February, going into March. But also, you're not gonna your team, you're more likely not, you're not going to seismically change unless, you know, you have, like, you're missing someone because they're coming back from injury. You're not going to seismically change, you know, from November to February. So you know, you have to make do with the pieces that you have. And so it's good to be able to get these type of tests early in the season, because they give you that tournament type feel, and they allow, especially if you have some younger guys like we do, you allow them to have an opportunity to feel what these moments are like, to know what it is, you know, in terms of where every possession matters down the stretch. I mean, obviously, like you mentioned with that Ole Miss game, it was, you know, it was a classic, it was a heart stopper. You know, we go from up being up as much as 17 to, I think we were down as much as, I want to say it was like 8. And
I
you
think
know,
it
when
was
you
seven.
was it 7? Yeah. So, but you get in that situation, it seems like everything is going against you, but it's just, it shows. And but it was very much so like a tournament game, like a, you know, a tournament game you see in March, where a team comes out, they're, you know, we start off, we're shooting hot, and then all of a sudden, you know, Ole Miss catches fire, and it seems like for a good like 30 minutes of game time, they just were not missing anything. And then they're down the stretch, you know, you know, you have to lock in and start getting stops or kills, as Paint called it, from the audio. You have to start getting stops, and you have to, you know, you have to start executing. And it's just, that's why I'm a fan of participating in these type of tournaments with these stronger fields, because yeah, you're gonna run into different teams. You're not gonna have the type of lead time in terms of being able to study them and be able to game plan for them. It just puts you all, like, you know, the entire pro like your entire program, you know, coaches down to the players, puts everyone in that tournament mindset. And so I personally feel like you can only benefit from them, even if your wins and loss record doesn't necessarily reflect that, like when you come out of the tournament. I just like that we always come home with hardware, though, because that's always nice.
I was going to say, and it kind of like builds kind of a winning it like mentality within the program too. Like you now expect to go out to these tournaments, win these tournaments. You want to bring home the hardware. You know, I don't think you can ever get enough trophies to put in the trophy case. So anytime you as a team can go out and win a tournament, I just think it bodes well for the team moving forward. And then specifically with this game, like you said, you know, to come back how they did down in the second half, it just felt like a game that they can build on, especially come March, you know, when they're not going to be hitting some shots or a team, you know, is going to come out hot. And they can kind of use this game as a reference and be like, hey, we just got to weather the storm. But, you know, looking back at that game, obviously everybody talks about the game that Miles had, and we will go into detail both about Miles and Trey. But just at a team level, very interesting that Purdue can beat a ranked team on a neutral court and essentially get points from four people. Outside of Trey, Miles, Braden, and Fletcher, the team scored 4 points, two from Cam and two from Caleb. So, you know, that just kind of goes to show that, like, even when Purdue isn't playing at their best, you know, that they can still play with anybody in the country, one. But two, it also just goes to show what we have talked about also, where everybody talks about, you know, the three-headed monster of Trey, Braden, Fletcher. But for Purdue to have any kind of success this season, you've got to get points from that fourth guy.
Yeah, you have to. And you know, obviously everyone's talking about, we're all still riding high off of Miles' performance in the championship game, but in the North and the NC State game, it was Cam. You know, Cam had 15 that game. And so, like you said, you just need, you need a fourth guy. It can be Miles, it can be Cam, it could be Caleb, it could be Ja'Kari, it could be CJ, because, you know, we're seemingly going 8, maybe 9 deep most of these games. You know, it can be any one of those guys. Heck, it could be a combination of those guys, but you will need You'll need that fourth person to come along. You'll need that fourth person to come along and to be giving you not just rebounds, but to be giving you actual points. And yeah, it was nice to see, obviously, over those 2 days, you were able to have a guy who stepped up and was able to give you double figure points. You know, like I said, Cam with the 15 and then Miles with 20.
And let's talk about Miles. That to me, it kind of felt like a breakout game for him, and kind of like put himself on the map type game. Just gonna run through his stat line real quickly because it's kind of wild to look at. He was 8 of 11 from the field, 3 of 5 from three, 1 of 2 from the line, 4 rebounds, finished with 20 points in 24 minutes. And he started the game off with a pick six dunk, and then hit a three, so scored the first five, and then of course the put back at the end to win the game. But that's what everybody's talking about. But he hit some big shots in the middle of that game as well. One that really jumps out in that second half to kind of keep Purdue, hanging in there. He hit a huge three,
Huge,
got
that wing,
got,
that wing three, yeah.
yeah, that was huge. Got the and one, had a chance for another and one. Just a really good game, and it just kind of went to show, like he gets the steal on the very first play, and then the rebound at the end. Those are two plays that Miles probably doesn't make last year.
Right.
And kind of just goes to show kind of the step that he's took. And if he can continue to play like that, man, look out, because if those are NBA league type plays that he's out there making.
Yeah, that Euro step he had for I think the first and one that he had, that was pretty. That was pretty stuff, man. He got the ball, it was a loose ball, picked it up. I think it was one, two dribbles, and then a gather over Euroed and one. Beautiful stuff. And like you said, they had that, he had that big three, and it just made me think about what Paint said. He said it like several weeks ago. He was talking about Miles, and he has, like, in terms of like, no, like, Miles has bigger goals than just being like a defensive, like, standout. Like, he wants to be a two-way player, and obviously he has pro aspirations, and obviously and to be that, you need to be able to show everything. You need to be able to show an ability to score and score from all levels. So score, from obviously score close, driving to the basket, but also, mid-range and being able to step outside, being able to rebound and also being able to defend. And I feel like really over the course of both of those games, he showed you all of that. And obviously we saw more of the offensive prowess on against Ole Miss. But man, it was just, you're right, it was a game that you really hope is like the springboard for him going forward. Not to say that like every game he's gonna come out and necessarily hit the big shots that he did or just have 20 points. But in terms of his ability to be able to impact the game on both sides, you really hope that this was the springboard of that, to where more often than not, he can be that fourth guy who's giving you that production. Because then, if you have that, and then if Cam's is able to, if a guy like Cam's able to come along, well, now we have a starting five where we're really starting to get some good production out of. And I think it only increases the ceiling for this Purdue team.
And I do want to talk about Braden a little bit too, because like we said, like everybody talked about Trey and Miles, and deservedly so, but Braden played all 40 minutes, finished 6 of 11 from the field, 18 points, had the second most rebounds on the team with six. In that first half, he really helped kind of carry Purdue. Was 4 of 4 from three in the first half. Another double double with 18 and 11 assists, and probably could have had a couple more. I feel like we said that after every game, but like he just another overall solid outing. But I just want to make sure we highlight like that 4 of 4 from three in the first half. He was on another level there, and really kind of helped build that lead up for the Boilermakers there.
Yeah, he got some open looks early, and I think after those first two went down, then it was like all of them are going up. And you're right, like I mean, we got out to that big lead in large because of those four threes he was able to hit. And yeah, it just kind of set the tone in terms of like, all right, cool. And like you said, his stat line 18, 11, and 6, and he only had two turnovers. Like you said, he played the whole game. You know, some days, you know, I think it was just only a few games ago, and I don't even think Brayden scored. And you know, and now you come out and what was it, the first night he had, I mean, the night before against NC State, he only had 11 points and he didn't actually shoot well. But you know, to bounce back the way that he did and have the game that he had, again, he's so critical to what we do. And I think obviously everyone knows that, even the media clearly, because they named him preseason player of the year, in the conference. But yeah, I mean, just big shout out to Braden, man, because he was flipping that gooseneck. Honestly, he was kind of looking like your boy, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely he was in the second half.
It's like that.
And then of course, man, we can't not talk about the game and not talk about the MVP of the Invitational, Trey Kaufman Wren, just continuing to build on has just been like a monster start to the season. And people are really starting to take notice. Like I saw John Rothstein had a tweet earlier today, in fact, that said, don't sleep on Trey as being an All-American this year. And with the production that he has had, it's hard to argue with that. Against NC State, he finished with 25 points on just 12 shots, 13 rebounds. I mean, again, the one thing we're always going to be watching with him is his free throws, 9 of 15. So, that's kind of, it's almost like that's where it's just going to be this year, I feel like. Obviously, we'd love for it to be that percentage to be a little higher, but I mean, not only did he play well scoring, rebounding, he had a couple plays that really stood out. I remember one in the first half, and I think they were both in the first half, but one that really stood out, he was getting double teamed on the post and found Brayden in the corner for a three. And it was one where he kind of stepped through, split the double, didn't panic, and found Brayden wide open. And that was a play, again, that he wasn't making last year. He had kind of been labeled as almost like a black hole that when he
I'm
gets the
gonna
ball
say it like it is, man. He was damn near, he was
in
a
the
super black
post,
hole last year.
he was gonna do one to two dribbles and go over one of the shoulders there with a jump hook. And he has really taken his game to another level. And so, just kind of the jump that he has made, a lot of people were like anticipating that with Edie being gone. It was like, who's going to be the next, post player down there? Who's going to help pick up that scoring slack? And man, Trey has just taken this opportunity and ran with it.
Yeah, no, you bring up, I mean, yeah, like you said, he had 25 against Ole Miss, and he had 22 against NC State, and in both of those games, he shot 60% from the free throw line. You know, 6 of 10 against NC State, 9 of 15 against Ole Miss. So you know, if he shot, and yeah, like you said, we're critical about it, but obviously it's because you make your free throws that those that can go a long way, but you know. He had 25 and 13 despite missing six free throws. He had 22 and 8 against NC State despite missing four free throws. And it's like if he's able to minimize those misses a little bit more, so if it goes from missing 6 to 3 or from 4 to 2 or 1, now we're all of a sudden we're talking about TKR having close to 30 and 10, which is going to sound like we're with Edie all over again. And I think it's interesting, what you're calling out the fact that people are like, hey, like don't sleep on Trey for All-American type accolades, because I felt like last year, especially later in the season, you kept hearing people say that Yeah, like, Trey's gonna be the one who benefits most from when Edie leaves, and like he's the guy who like who he seems ready to take that leap. And like you said, he's very much so taking advantage of the opportunity. I remember distinctly the circumstances you were talking about in terms of, the double comes over and he doesn't panic. He looks around, he identifies, he steps through and is able to deliver a pass. And like you said, that wasn't a play that he was making yesterday. I mean, last year. And also too, I what's been more impressive for me has been the rebounds as of late, because there was a lot of noise that was made, including us, about, after what the Alabama and the, well, no, maybe not the Alabama game, right before the Alabama game, and I think it came up again after the Marquette game, about him needing to rebound more. And then, he was talking about how he wants to, about what now?
It was the Yale game.
Yeah, the Yale game. That's right. That's right. And he said, he when they asked him after one of the games about, like, hey, how do you like the small lineup and playing the five? And he's talked about how he likes playing the five. And he said, and then Payne, I think, said as well, they were like, yeah, but he needs to rebound more. Like, he can't have three rebounds. And Mans has been, he's been in there battling, fighting for boards. Of the 13 rebounds that he had the other night, 10 of them were defensive rebounds. And so that, and especially like with the way that Ole Miss was shooting and what we had to do late in terms of getting stops, when you're trying to get a stop, you obviously you have to defend for the possession, but in order to close that out, you got to secure the rebound. So the fact that he was that active on the backboard, that also is speaking to me that like he's paying attention to that and knows that I have to be more aware of and have to be, I have to be actually going up with intention to get the ball on the rebounds, and then obviously we get it to Braden, we can run the other way. So yeah, man, he's really, he himself has he's had, I feel like, almost an underratedly good start, like good portion of start, and especially these last two games, he's had a really good stretch here, and I'm very eager to see how it goes. I've obviously we're about to get a little taste of Big Ten play, but yeah, man, Trey's been he's been good, man, and like you said, rightfully so, was MVP of the tourney, as he should have been.
And to your point, we're gonna need him to keep playing at that type of level, because looking ahead, it's about to get. I won't say the schedule is about to get tough because it has been, but it's not getting any lighter. And so with this week, they kick off Big Ten play with the two games. Like all teams, probably sound like an old man here, but I hate this switch where they play the two random Big Ten games in December. I would rather just have the non-con and then start with Big Ten versus switching back and forth. But it is what it is. And so the Boilermakers, now ranked number 8 in the country, will head to State College to take on the Penn State Nittany Lions. For really, I guess, the Boilermakers' second true road game. And it'll be interesting to see, how they bounce back on the road, because, obviously the game at Marquette didn't go well. It was a very sloppy game. At times it seemed like Purdue played really scared, for lack of a better term. And a lot of that, I think, had to do with them being on the road, in that environment at Marquette. And so it'll be interesting to see kind of what they've learned from that. And it'll just be interesting to see, like, who is this Penn State team? Because they come in 7-1, but you look through their schedule, like, really the only like power five or, top team they've played is Clemson, who beat them.
Well, that's true, yeah.
Other than that, like, you're looking, it's like, well, yeah, they probably should have beat those teams.
Right.
So, like, how good is this Penn State team? I guess we'll find out on Thursday at 6:30 when it tips off.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm curious to see how the guys respond. Like, yeah, this is the second true road game, as you mentioned, and I do remember in that Marquette game, there was a point where it looked like some guys were almost like they were like they were I wouldn't want to say starstruck, but it was very much so. It was like they were almost overthinking things. And you want to see if this time around, because too, the thing that like these guys are gonna have to understand, and I know some of them already do, is that like when you're ranked, especially as high as we are, I think we're sitting at 8 in the country right now. Even the games where you go into, even the road games where you go somewhere and like that team might not be good. People like the students, the fans, they're gonna show up because now it's a possibility of a court storming. And Penn State is not necessarily an easy place to play at. And like you said, like we don't know what this Penn State team is. Like, I mean, like they average what, 91 points a game. I think their average win margin is just shy of 29 a game. But like you said, they haven't really played anyone to this point. And that, like, again, like just like you said, they played Clemson. Clemson, who just beat Kentucky last night, last night. And then they lost. They lost to Clemson. And so it's like, all right, well, was that just like Clemson's actually really good and Penn State's all right, or is it like no, like Clemson's okay, but Penn State's just been beaten up on a bunch of like of just lesser opponents. So we definitely need to make sure that tomorrow, we come out focused, and that's probably a game too on the road. You want to try to jump out and get the lead because it takes the crowd out of it. But the other thing that comes with that is that what happens when Penn State makes a run? Then you have to answer that. You have to be able to weather that, and then be able to still execute and kind of keep your head on your shoulders, because especially on the road, it can get bad very quickly. If like they hit a couple shots, you get a couple turnovers as well. It can become a snowball effect real quickly. So I'm definitely intrigued by tomorrow's game. I This is actually the one time where I wish it wasn't so early, being it's at 6:30 Eastern. But that's okay. I'll watch it in between. That's at the gym.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. I think the big thing to watch in this game for both sides is going to be the 3-point shooting. I don't think like when Ole Miss went on their run and just seemed like they couldn't miss from three, there didn't seem to be a lot of defensive breakdowns. A few of those kind of were just some shots that went in. They did hit a couple pick and pops. But then there were some where it was like once they started to get going, dudes were like shooting just right off the dribble. And so, but that'll be something to watch because to your point, it seems like when, especially on the road, when Purdue goes to travel, you're going to get everybody's A game, which means everybody's going to be amped up. And shots that probably wouldn't fall in a game where they're playing, a lesser opponent are probably going to fall this game. And so for Purdue, like you said too, they're going to have to make some shots. If you think back to the Marquette game too, that's probably the worst offensive game that they've played. And kind of who is this Purdue team when they can't make some shots. And they, I feel like they really struggled when the jump shot wasn't going down against Marquette. And if that's not falling in State College, what are they gonna do? So I think that, for both sides, that's gonna be kind of what's gonna decide the game is going to be the 3-point line.
They got Penn State's got a guy, I think his name's what, Zach Hicks, who he's taken, I think it was what, 67 shots on the year, and 48 of them have been threes, and he's shooting 24 or 48 from three. So he's a guy, obviously, I think is going to be on the
Now
scouting
that's like
report. Sure. I mean, 24 or 48, it sound like what you would give up on defense in terms of
enormous.
getting these buckets off on you, heard? Yeah, I mean, like you said, if they start getting hot from three, just like with Ole Miss, like they had some threes that were coming out of sets, but then eventually, as those started to go down and the confidence, it's like it spread to everyone, and then people were taking, they were getting switches on pick and rolls, and then guys were going like one on one, just pulling up, splash, and honestly, at times there's nothing you can do about that, because like even if you're playing good defense, like sometimes the shot making is just better. But like you said, what happens when Purdue does go into, you know, they do, we do have a scoreless drought. Are you able to maintain defensively and then even still like rebounding? Because you do want to be able to see the fact that this Purdue team can win ugly when they're not shooting well. Because I always think that's important too. And you know, we were talking about earlier about, you know, ways that you have like games that prepare you for the tournament. These are the type of games you can run into as well, where you're just not shooting well and you still have to find a way to figure it out, to be able to, you know, you're not hitting from three. All right, well, cool. We have to make sure that we know we're even more locked in on defense, that we're, you know, that we have more guys who are boxing out and going to get rebounds, being smarter with the ball, that type of stuff. You know, all those other little things, they matter all that much more when you're not hitting, when you're not hitting shots, especially shots from the outside. So yeah, I mean, like Penn State, they got, it looks like they have five guys who average double figures. So clearly they have some guys who can shoot and who can score. So I think we're definitely gonna have our hands full. But you know, I think Purdue has the they have the tools to get it done. They just I think it'll be more about I imagine it'll be more about what Purdue doesn't do than what they do if we do come out on the wrong side, which I hope not, obviously.
Yeah, and I'd be, you know, just you obviously with it being Big Ten games, you want to get off to a good start. But you know, I will say too that if they do lose, it's not the end of the world. You remember last year, they lost their first game in Big Ten play on the road. And things worked out okay. So you know, obviously you want to get off to that start, but you know, it's a long year. I did just want to highlight too, the other big matchup this week for the Boilermakers. After this game on Thursday, they will return to Mackey on Sunday and take on what's looking to be a pretty dang good Maryland team, who's won five in a row. And they will tip off Sunday at noon Eastern in Mackey. So be sure to check that one out. That will be on Big Ten Network. The game on Thursday against the Nittany Lions is on FS1 with a 6:30 tip. And then again, Sunday the 8th, Maryland at home. You gotta imagine it'll be another raucous environment at Mackey. And really kind of excited just to get back home and play. It'll be almost a couple weeks since the Boilermakers have played in Mackey there. So, you know, the students will be amped up and ready to go this weekend there too.
Yeah, and they're gonna need to be against Maryland. I'm looking right now and see that they beat the shit out of Ohio State today. Outscored them 50-17 in the first half. What the hell? So
Good look.
it seems as though that'll be, you know, obviously we'll have to it'll be that'll be a good hotly what is it? That'll be a good game. Let me out here trying to work these words. I'm struggling like you. But yeah, it'll be. I think it will be two, maybe 3 weeks since they last been home. So yeah, you know, obviously Mackie's always buzzing. So, but obviously the first task at hand is handling Penn State on Thursday, and then you know, hopefully when we get past that, you know, the guys have a couple days, get back home, and then we're able to go up against Maryland. So very excited for these next couple games, and hopefully which are two wins.
Yep. Two really interesting games. You know, not trying to look ahead too much, but then you have Texas A&M in Indianapolis and Auburn in Birmingham. So it's not going to get any easier. So these two games kind of turn into obviously not like must-win games. I think when we talked about this last time, you know, we said, you know, we hoped like a 4-2 kind of in this run of six. Well, they're 2-0 to start. So, you know, if you can get these next two, then you're almost playing with house money against A&M and Auburn there. But these ones just feel important because of Big Ten, and wanting to make sure you get off to that start in conference play there.
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, the conference games matter so much in terms of the larger picture of being able to possibly go after a, you know, a conference championship for the year. And you want to try to, yeah, like you said, you want to get on the right footing. And yeah, it's like the schedule, it just it there's never really like an easy portion of it. So it's not like, oh, well, you have these two, and then you play a few directional schools who you can just beat up on, and then oh, come back to Big Ten play. No, you got these two, and then you're gonna go around, like you said, and play A&M and then play Auburn back to back. So, you definitely would like to be able to get these two. To where then if you do happen to stumble in one of those other two, like it's not the end of the world. But like you said earlier, I mean, even losing, if it were to be that they lost one of these two, that's not going to be the end of the world. I think, if you've been around Purdue long enough, you've seen times in the non-con or even early in Big Ten season where it was a bit bumpy, it was a bit turbulent, and then they ended up turning around. You're truly only you're always one, two games away from starting, so a long win streak and kind of changing the whole perception. So yeah, we'll see how this goes. But yeah, definitely just I guess you'd say like a big stretch per se. But I mean, like I said, the whole season seems like it's a big stretch. So.
That's what it seems like. But again, these two will be pretty interesting. You got Thursday night in State College, and then back home, Mackey on Sunday afternoon. Maryland will come to play, and we'll see what happens. Hopefully, the next time we talk, we'll be talking about two Big Ten wins. But regardless of what happens, we'll be here to break it down for you guys. Again, be sure to check out. This is just part one. Part two will also be available, where Sim and Nate break down Purdue volleyball and as they start their NCAA tournament run. That starts tomorrow, Thursday the 5th, as well. So, really good stuff there. Make sure to check that out also. But again, thank you everybody for listening. And also, if any news breaks with the head coaching job, we'll be there to talk about that as well. We didn't really want to go into it too much, but from everything we've read, sounds like that announcement will be made probably over the weekend, no later than Monday, like we talked about with the portal opening up. You got to think that that announcement will be coming sooner rather than later. So, lots of stuff happening. We'll be here to break it all down. But again, thank you everybody for listening and boiler up.
Yes, sir.